You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. When we talk about the media these days, we don't just mean this.
This is CNN.
Or this.
This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco Local Public Radio.
It's more like this.
Facebook has announced a new short video service for its
Hulu beams TV directly to your portable computing devices.
Instagram, which we love.
President Obama has a verified Twitter account.
And with so many options to choose from, some of those older forms of media are getting less attention. So how are these changes reshaping what news we read, see, and hear? KALW's Ben Trefney is exploring this idea with Bay Area media makers. Today, we'll hear his conversation with Tim Redmond, who recently left the San Francisco Bay Guardian after more than three decades with the paper.
I have believed for a while that the traditional model of daily newspapers in America is coming to an end. The idea, you know, when I started my career at the Hartford Courant in 1979 in Hartford, Connecticut, there was one paper that dominated the city. They had this cavernous newsroom with 300 reporters, and what the Hartford Courant said was news, and what they decided wasn't news, nobody knew about. And that was really the model that dominated this country for most of the last 30 years. That's dead. I you know, the San Francisco Chronicle is struggling, is, you know, kind of on its last legs. I think we're going to see an era in the city where instead of one dominant daily, there may be no daily print newspapers in 10 years. But I think there's going to be half a dozen online dailies, each of them with not a staff of 300, but a staff of 10 or 12 or something. I want to be the one doing that from the progressive perspective. I'm starting the San Francisco Progressive Media Center is a nonprofit in California. We've applied for 501c3 status. I'm doing this as a nonprofit because I think that model works. I think that a progressive newspaper like KALW or KQED or KPFA, really, it's okay to depend on community support. It's okay to say, if you support this idea of having a progressive voice in San Francisco politics, arts, and culture, I'm going to ask the progressive community to support it. So we're going to do it. We're doing a nonprofit. We're going to launch a new online publication, which I'm not going public with the name yet because I don't have my website set up. But within a few weeks, we're going to have that set up. And I'm going to try to raise enough money to hire a modest staff and do real news, not just content aggregation, not just, you know, this is what everyone else is saying, but actually send reporters out to City Hall and to communities and to the streets to talk about what's really going on. Because I've always believed that democracy can't survive without reporters. You need reporters. And that's what I want to do.
Do you think that this change, as you envision it, would be good for journalism on the whole or will be detrimental for journalism on the whole, say, for public consumption?
I think it's going to be good. I'm very optimistic. And I think that we could reach a point where, if we can figure out the business model, where there will be jobs in journalism. And I tell journalism students this, there have to be jobs in journalism because we have to have reporters for our society to function. All right. And it's going to be different. As I say, instead of one dominant outlet, I think we're going to see a more diffuse media environment where there's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 places where you can go for your local news. And that means that one paper or two papers can't dominate the public discussion the way they have been in this country.
One of the strengths of one dominant media entity is that they can have, at least in the past, not as much anymore perhaps, but they could have a lot of different reporters in a lot of different places and therefore get into kind of the nooks and crannies of issues. If you have fewer and they're maybe looking for more political perspectives, then will you be able to get to as many stories, maybe as many of the untold stories?
Well, that's a big challenge, obviously. Now, there was a time when, yes, the very big newspapers, the LA Times, the Washington Post, somewhat the New York Times, although this was never their big thing, had the budgets for in-depth investigative reporting where you could put a team of five people on a story for a year and really get to the bottom of stuff. That's gone. I mean, those budgets are, the dailies aren't doing that anymore. So what I think we're going to see is, you know, the publication that we are starting through the San Francisco Progressive Media Center will be looking at stories from the street level up, and we will get as many as we can. I think you're going to see that kind of investigative reporting done more and more by places like the Center for Investigative Reporting and ProPublica, which are nonprofits not trying to put out a daily newspaper, not trying to do regular breaking news, but trying to devote their resources to exactly this kind of investigative reporting. So I think it's going to be a very different media landscape in 10 years.
Do you think then, if there are, say, different publications from political perspectives, and this is the way it is in other countries,
yeah,
I'm aware, Will that affect the way that people see the news? Will they just choose to read the news, follow the news that just fits their own political persuasion? Will that be limiting for people's perspectives and how they see the world?
I hope not. And in fact, I don't think that you see that in other countries. I think you see people picking up, you know, in London, picking up three or four publications that represent different perspectives. And, you know what you're getting from Rupert Murdoch, and you know what you're getting from The Guardian, and if you, The Guardian of London. And if you want to be a well-informed person, you read them both. Right? And, you know, over the years, I think there's been a lot of more conservative people who have read The Bay Guardian and read my writing because they wanted to hear what my perspective was, even though they weren't going to agree with it. So I'm hoping that what we'll get is a more robust public debate.
What about for the people who don't have time to make that kind of investment, where the necessity of maybe looking to a lot of different sources, that might leave a lot of people who don't have the time out of the know?
Well, it might. On the other hand, we're also getting more and more content aggregation and things like RSS feeds where you can basically say, you know, if we assume that 10 years from now, the vast majority of people will be getting their news from the web, which is almost true today, you can set up your computer to say, okay, when I go look for news, send me stories from these seven places. And essentially, you will not have to go out and buy five different newspapers and put them on your kitchen table while you're having your coffee and flip through them. It'll come to you.
Who's going to fund all of that?
Well, that's one that is obviously the biggest question. And one of the reasons I'm doing this as a nonprofit is I believe in community-supported journalism. But one of the reasons is I think that's a model that's going to work. I don't know the business model. I don't know the way you make a profit doing this yet. It'll come along. There are some of the bigger web publications now, places like Raw Story and Daily Kos, are making money as private businesses off of online advertising. And I think that will happen. It isn't happening yet. But I do think that the money, I do think that there's enough people who believe in this vision who are willing to support it in San Francisco and in the Central Bay Area that I'll be able to do this as a nonprofit.